Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." When the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing Jesus. Those are snippets from Luke and 2 chapters in John. It's very apparent from these couple of scriptural references that Jesus had a very deep and ongoing relationship with the family of the siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in case you hadn't connected all the dots from that reading, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were all sisters and brother. They were very good friends of Jesus. They were very great friends of Jesus, in fact. They knew Jesus in several different contexts and situations, those being listed up above. We can see that the story, is mentioned, not just mentioned, in the raising of Lazarus' story that we know, but is also mentioned again in John 12 as being a bit of a troublemaker in so many ways, because he's naturally, because he's been raised from the dead, telling everybody he runs into that Jesus raised him from the dead. And the chief priests, as we read, aren't very happy and are actively trying to stop him, in fact put him to death, so that he'll stop telling others and causing them to believe in Jesus' message. So the story of the three, the two sisters and the brother, is more than just a couple accounts. It goes on, it seems, and they're mentioned several times. So all that being noted, today's reading from Luke chapter 10 has got nothing to do with Lazarus in this particular instance, but is about his sisters, Mary and Martha. And I pointed out Lazarus' connection to assist us in seeing the relationship, the very important relationship Jesus has had with this family and with these siblings. Today's reading from Luke 10 is a short story, very short story in so many ways, and is an important one, however, about our lives as Christians, as Jesus' followers. It's an important story about balance, we talked about with the children, and what's important in life. Haddon Robinson points out that one old recipe for rabbit stew starts out with this injunction: first, catch the rabbit. Says Robinson, the writer knew how to put things first. That's what we do when we establish priorities. We put the things that should be in the first place in their proper order. So you can't make rabbit stew unless you've got a rabbit. So you need to go get one, is the point. Putting things in the right order. In the account of Mary and Martha in Luke, Martha often gets the short end of the stick when we're retelling the story. She's very often left with comments about how her rushing about, and in her own words, left to do all the work by myself. People kind of put her down for that. Commentators and preachers alike spend time telling us how Martha is wrong, and Mary, sitting lovingly at the feet of Jesus, listening to her words, is absolutely right. Martha is off the mark, Mary's on the button. Martha is in the wrong for worrying about her tasks, and Mary is right because she chose to sit and listen to Jesus' words. But there's a very important word that makes all the difference here, and it often gets kind of misplaced or just skipped over, and I believe it's a word that we all very often skip over when we're trying to set our priorities and get things in the right order, and that word is distracted. I'll read it again from Luke. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came to Jesus and asked her question. Martha got distracted. Martha is doing what's expected of her in this particular situation. Mary should have been aware of the same thing. Hospitality And the way we treat our guests is a very important custom, especially in the culture in which they lived. And I can read to you from Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So hospitality and the way we treat our guests is incredibly important in this particular situation. In other cultures, even in modern days, having guests in one's home is also a very important part of the culture. For example, people in India have the highest regard for guests and value hospitality. A common saying there is, and pardon my pronunciation, I'm just sounding it out, Atithi Devo Bhav, meaning guests are forms of God. Treating your guests as gifts of God is a cross-cultural notion. Making sure that they have the best and are treated the best is extremely important. When I visited Cuba a few years ago with the group from Knox College, our group was hosted by a very poor rural family. There was lots. When we got to this small house in the forest, it was built with the corrugated tin and whatnot. When we got there, there was all kinds of very good food and drink, and it was offered to us by our hosts. We had a wonderful time visiting and eating with them and enjoying the company of these hosts. And after we had left, our guide told us that we'd been offered almost a week's worth of food for this visit with our poor family. They gave us everything they had. And that's just what they wanted to do. It's how they treated guests. It was not something that they would begrudge, but something they wanted to do. Because having guests was a great honor for them. Especially having guests from Canada was a great honor for them. A friend of mine also, when he's doing, he's actually in Africa at the moment, delivering beds for sleeping children, that program. He was in the Himalayas doing that same thing, delivering beds to children in different villages. They came upon a small village up in the mountains, and of course lots of white folks, Canadians that were there, and there was, in the small village, there was this wedding being held. And the family of the bride were very insistent that my friend from Canada and his group join in the festivities. They were sat at the head table with the bride's family, and again, loads of food and drink were offered to them all night long. My friend said he didn't know what he was eating half the time and what he was drinking, but he just nibbled away as best he could for good behavior. Having foreign guests for them was such a great honor, and they were treated truly as gifts from God and blessed this wedding because they were there, and that's how they saw their guests. So Martha and Mary are in a similar kind of a culture. Martha was trying to do the very same thing as she was busy with her many tasks. She was doing the right thing, with the exception of that one word. She got distracted by the tasks and forgot her guest. She seems to have actually forgotten that guest completely, in the sense that she came to Jesus with her complaint. Now, it sounds, when you start looking at this in a little more detail, this sounds very much like dysfunctional families that we talk about today. These two sisters aren't getting along in this particular instance. One's quite angry, the other one's off just kind of sitting doing nothing, it seems. The other one's busy getting stuff ready. So what does she do? Instead of talking to her sister, she goes to the guest, the visitor in their house, and says, "Can you do something about this, please?" Even today, that would seem kind of odd. If you had a complaint with your brother or your sister, you went to the guest in the house and said, "Could you fix this matter? I'm having a problem with my mom or dad in this particular situation, so you're just visiting today, could you fix it for me?" It was perceived very much the same way, although Christ, Jesus, just steps into it as he always does, gently and kindly. Doesn't tell her she should never have said those words to her. He just points out she's been distracted. She seems to lost sight that her guest was the most important thing that was going on, not the task of having a guest, but the guests themselves. She got distracted. We as Christians, we as believers and followers of Christ, have a responsibility, it seems, to serve others in our lives. But often when that responsibility gets refocused or we get distracted by the task itself, we forget who we are doing this for, and we focus instead just on the task itself. And we get weary. We get worn out sometimes. All excusable in so many ways. Martha was running around trying to do the best she could, and she was running out of steam, it could be perceived in that story, and she needed some help. But Martha, like us, needed to step back and refocus her energy and her efforts. We can certainly read into this story a little bit of Mary and Martha, that Mary had not been very helpful caring for her guest Jesus, and that Martha really needed her help to do the things that were needed to attend to the guest's needs. But at that particular moment, Mary was not distracted by being busy as Martha seemed to be in that particular moment. Martha was doing exactly the correct thing, but she was clearly distracted from paying attention to the moment, the now, the present, because Jesus was speaking. And he was teaching them, it seems, and as it says, Mary was listening to his words. Martha needed to do the very same thing in that moment. Paying attention to the moment is important for all of us, whether we're serving guests, or whether we're working in the church, or whether we're at home. And balance, as I tried to point out with the children a little bit, is vital in these instances, that we can find meaning and purpose in our lives. Staying in the present moment is vital in these instances, and we may find ourselves in life. Now, you may have seen on the news this last few weeks about this Pokemon Go has been referenced. If you're watching the news at all, they've been talking about it and all the ups and downs. So I'll explain to you in very brief what Pokemon Go is. You get your phone. This isn't my phone, but pretend this is my phone. And if I hold it up here, I can actually see from my camera this room. And what they do is they superimpose little characters from the Pokemon cartoons and games on that, and I can interact with them. So it's real world situation. If I go outside, my camera's looking at the parking lot. As I scan around, I might see a Pokemon character, and I can play with them. What happens, however, and that's what we're reading in the news, people are walking around looking at the real world and bumping into things. They're getting in car accidents. They're getting robbed in some cases because people know they're distracted. It's exactly a lesson for us in our lives. Very often, we can see the real world as we look through that camera. I can see exactly what's around me. But I'm so focused on this version of it, I might miss the step in front of me. I'm not in the real moment. Pokemon Go is very popular with kids, and I can see why. It's kind of fun. It's got that kickback to that sort of cartoon that the 20s and 30s grew up with, it seems, and even younger. And it's going to happen here in Canada. It's going to be released. We're going to see kids wandering around very soon, looking at the real world. You'll also take note, if you read some articles on it, places like this church will be a place that you can stop at in Pokemon Go and do something. People are hanging around buildings like churches, all looking at their phones. You'll know why, because they're playing Pokemon Go. But they're distracted from what's really around them. And it is kind of a story for us to think about. We can often get distracted by here and lose sight of where we actually are in the moment. And it's easy to do. And Martha did that very same thing, it seems. Martha got focused too much on this and lost sight of this. So Martha maybe tripped on a step a little bit. Martha bumped into the table a little bit. And Jesus was very gentle in reminding her not to be distracted, to be focused on the people in these instances. And it helps us focus on God. Max Lucado tells the following in the book called The Eye of the Storm. Clovis Chapel, a minister from a century back, used to tell a story about two paddle boats. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, sailors from one vessel made a few remarks about the snail pace of the other. Words were exchanged, challenges were made, and a race began. Competition became vicious as the two boats roared through the deep south, one boat falling behind another. Not enough fuel. There'd been plenty of coal for the trip, but not enough for a race. As the boats dropped back, an enterprising young sailor took some of the ship's cargo and tossed it into the ovens. When the sailors saw how the supplies burned as well as the coal, they fueled their boat with the material they had been assigned to transport. They ended up winning the race, but they burned all their cargo. God has entrusted us, a cargo to us too. It's our children, our spouses, our friends, our family, our community that we live in. Our job is to do our part in seeing that this cargo reaches its destination. Yet when the program takes priority over people, people often suffer. How much cargo do we sacrifice in order to achieve that number one slot is the question he's asking. How often do we lose sight of what we're doing in transporting down the Mississippi in this particular story, gently and quietly? We get caught up in the moment, and we start burning all kinds of stuff. This week's story, when we were doing our Bible study, we talked about Jonah, and Jonah's ship got in a bit of a storm. So they got so panicky and lost sight of why they were there, they threw everything overboard, including Jonah eventually. We lose sight sometimes because we panic in the moment in which we stand. And it's easy for that to happen, just like Martha. It's easy for us to lose the point of what we're doing. It's easy because there's so much going on in our lives that we get distracted. It adds only the much more important time to be praying and to be studying God's Word and to be fellowshipping with God's people. Three key points in your spiritual life that we need to be doing. I don't have the numbers in front of me, and it's not really important to have them all, but I remember a while back I did a numbers of how many hours we have in a day and in a week and in a month and in a year, and how many hours we spend doing various things. So you just look at it from a day's perspective. How many hours do you spend eating? How many hours do you spend sleeping? Probably not enough, but how many hours do you spend sleeping? How many hours do you spend looking after yourself? And then how many hours do you really spend with God? How many hours do you actually spend speaking to God? And I do mean in this particular instance, stopping all the noise and all the activity and just thinking about God for a moment. We're here for 1 hour on a Sunday, roughly, for worship time. 1 hour out of our full hours of all the week hours we have in a week. And I'm saying to you that it's not enough when we're in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in the rest of our week. There's more to our week than just this 1 hour. There's much more going on in any of our lives throughout that week. And we need to take the moment and refocus and not be like Martha and distracted by the tasks that busy us through our week. Be a little bit more like Mary in that sense and become balanced and take a moment to just listen to Jesus' words, whether it's prayer or study or fellowship with God's people. How many times could Jesus ask any one of us the same question he asked Martha at her moment of distraction? You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. What is that? Are you worried and distracted by the tasks in your life? We all need to step back like Mary and sit at the Lord's feet and listen to what he is saying. Amen. We bring our gifts and our talents, and we bring our sacrifice of praise to the Lord. We bring them with prayers and shouts and thanksgiving to celebrate God's faithfulness. Let us now present our offerings to all the things that God has done for us.